There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you, then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you, let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't got to be super smart and got to know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever
it is. It's good if you want to be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money by income. Get money by more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on plate.
What's good, my wealthy people? Your boy David Bellard, 1/4 of the Blackwell Renaissance crew, checking in with my brother here, Jalen Clark. Jalen, how you living, man?
Man, I'm doing great, bro. It's been a great Saturday. I've been just getting some good stuff done, man.
It's been fire.
Yeah, bro. So I'm really blessed. I'm feeling great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Likewise, man. It's been a dope session. This is a third recording session of Blackwell Renaissance Season 4. And it's been lit, man. And just like the rest of the episodes, we coming to y'all with some more pressure today, man. We got a lady out of here, Dallas native. Yep. She's been doing a damn thing, man. If you be on Twitter, you done seen her dropping these gems, man. She got one tweet in particular that went super viral. Like it was like, talk about the you can have a 9-to-5 and do all these things, right? Because a lot of times we get real binary in our arguments. She's a real estate investor. She got multiple things going on in terms of the employment thing. I ain't gonna talk about it. I ain't gonna say it because we can't get too particular. But she's out here wholesaling land, wholesaling real estate, helping people get to a bag in several fields. We have none other than Miss Portia Edmond. Portia, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, David and Jalen. Thank you for having me on.
I am so happy to get you. This is another long overdue episode. Been interacting on the TL for a few years now. And I'm just glad that we could get you on here to come speak to our audience and share some of your knowledge, for sure. So, Portia, just to get everything kicked off, I just want to ask you to give yourself an introduction to our audience for those people who may not know you, the ones that sleep on the TL.
Okay. Well, my name is Portia Edmond. I'm from Dallas, Texas. Well, South Dallas, Texas. Born and raised. I am a licensed insurance adjuster. I work for the federal government. Take my 9-to-5 money and invest it in real estate. Been doing it since, 2016? Background, I was an environmental scientist, got fired, got let go, and then I just went all in real estate. I just really haven't looked back. Just a lot of stuff that's just, you know, went on throughout that time. And now I've started like building, you know, on the land that I buy. I still wholesale some, but most times I'm trying to buy it for myself or my family. Just recently had a child, so you know, now the mommy premier.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's a lot, you know, differently now because I'm actually building a team now to delegate and, you know, build systems and automate systems and stuff because
the headaches, but yes. It's a headache, but it's worth it.
Yes. And so it's just a different level of business with, you know, holding myself accountable, my team accountable, and just motivating them, like constantly motivating them and just trying to, you know, get to that next level that most 9-to-5preneurs, solopreneurs need to step into that next. You know, it's kind of scary a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. And then the control factor, you gotta kind of let the reins go a little bit, and just train them very well to, like, you know, kind of do the same results that you do from the land perspective. Yeah, it is hard, but just, you know, using the 9-to-5, I do that, and you know, business credit, personal credit, you know, estate planning, different things like that. I speak about a lot. And that's pretty much kind of what I do, and talk shit on Twitter. Like, I don't know. That's what I do.
Talk shit on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's so dope, though. I'm glad that we could get you on, Portia, to share some of your knowledge. So, like, I want to go back to the beginning. You said in 2016, that's when you started using your 9-to-5 to invest in real estate. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that first deal?
Yes. So, and to keep it a book, my first deal took a year. And the reason why it took a year, because I did get let go from, like I said, I was an environmental scientist. I used to do surveying, land, mold, asbestos, different things like that for commercial developers. So I've always been around real estate, but I was a vendor. I was on the other side of the transaction, not on the $1 million side of the transaction. I was living in Houston, working for a company out there. I was supposed to come up here to the DFW office and run everything up here for them. 2 weeks after I got here, they fired me. So
damn.
I was like, okay, cool. You know, my grandfather had got sick. My grandpa was a master plumber. That's kind of how I got into real estate, because he was a master plumber for real estate investors in DFW. Mm. And so he used to always plant the seeds of like real estate and blah, 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 trades and, you know, different things like that. So when I got fired, I went to this weekend seminar, missed my homecoming because I was like, all right, I'm got to focus in. I wanted to go to homecoming, but I was like, I'm going to just pay for this seminar. I went to the weekend seminar. It was here in Dallas, and I just went all in. But in the midst of all of that, my grandpa died. I actually got my first deal like the week of, it was like in February 2017, I got my first deal like that week in South Dallas, and then he died on President's Day 2017. And so I was like, yo, son, like, I gotta go. Like, you know, with the seller, like, I'm just like, and I just forgot about all this stuff. So I didn't even get the deal closed. So, like, a lot of depression set in, a lot of different things like that. I lost my apartment. I've talked about that on the timeline. And when I lost my apartment, my grandfather's house was paid off free and clear. So we were like, all right, well, we just gonna do the multi-generational thing. Y'all know I'm big on family. Mm-hmm. I'm big on multi-generational group economics, different things like that. So we try to do that. So everybody over there, we good. Bills like $300 a month. You know what I'm saying? Everybody working, saving, making good money. Right. Stacking. Whatever. At the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my auntie not in the right frame of mind, whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's sober now. At the time, she was not. We got into like a really big altercation, kind of like some domestic stuff, whatever, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather, you know what I'm saying? Like, I go sleep somewhere else, like, because I'm not finna deal with this. I just got on for the government, the SBA, doing Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria. This is before I got my IA license, but I had jumped into the IA role, making great money with SBA. And so, I'm in my car. I'm sleeping in my car, and I end up getting into a hotel, the Sterling. It's like Sterling and Irving. It's off 183 or something, mm-hmm. or whatever, whatever. So they pay like monthly. So I'm staying there, stacking my bread from SBA, you know what I'm saying? But I'm still doing the real estate thing, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing it on the weekends. And then when I get my first land deals, mm-hmm. I was like, it was so easy. Like, I was just like, they was just like, yeah, just give me like, you know, $3,000. I'm like, all right, cool. And so, like, I get it under contract for, gave them the three, got it under, within the contract. So, mm-hmm. like, I put the three, and I think they owed at the time maybe like 15. It was like 15 or something like that. So, I did the 15. You know, so it's
45 all together.
No, 18. So, like, because it's 15,000 back taxes.
I got
it.
And
then, so the 3,000 to them. You see what I'm saying? So it's like 18,000, the total, whatever, whatever. And I flipped that jump for 25.
Damn,
man.
So like, and so after that, I was like, oh yeah, this lit. And so I was only focusing on land at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, cause I was trying to do houses, but it's just nothing would connect, man.
So,
like,
so let's talk about this land stuff more. Cause I mean, I see people talk about land. You're the first person I heard talk mm-hmm. about buying and wholesaling land a lot on the mm-hmm. timeline. Mm-hmm. When it comes to buying land, how do you find like, what factors going to identifying a good piece of land to buy?
Well, for me, first off, do you mean motivation or do you mean like where I would want to get it?
The latter. Where would you want to get it?
Okay, so that's going to be location. Like, what's going on in the area? So, mm-hmm. like, is it a lot of development going on? Is it, you know, commercial things being put up? You know what I'm saying? Like, any activity? But, nah, okay, I don't care. Like, I don't really care. Because I'm tripping. Because the land where I purchased out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever, right, with Scotty, like, whatever. That land out there, I don't care about that. It's going to be a while before that stuff goes up with appreciation. We're about to build to rent, and that's for cash flow. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm about to build 12 doors. Like, we're doing, I'm doing building 6 duplexes out there. I have 12 doors. And so, like, I don't care about, I just don't care about that. Like, I'm going to buy the land. I'm going to get the boots on the ground. We're going to build these duplexes. We're going to rent them subsidy. And subsidy.
Subsidy, like government housing?
Yep. They're the best. That's the best partner to have, the government. Because when it was all the COVID stuff, you saw all the landlords, people were bunkering down in their places, not paying them. They couldn't evict them. Well, people that had subsidy housing, Section 8 or veteran housing, group homes, they were still getting paid. And so that's the way that I'm going. So, you know. But, yeah, so, no, I don't care about that. At first, I was going to say, like, yeah, I do, like, location matters, mm-hmm. but not really once you have your exit strategies. If you know what you're going to do in your exit strategy, it really doesn't matter. Even if it's rural land, you can lease it out to somebody who want to go out there and hunt all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does. You just have to have your exit strategies in place. And it has to be able to be, you know, maybe, like, not necessarily buildable, but you do, like, if it's just for hunting, you may want to put like a little cabin or maybe like a little tiny house on there for the people that you will lease it to. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that it has like the utilities. Does it have access? What's the zoning on it? What's is it in a flood zone? Different things like that. Those are the factors that you need to look at when you look at land.
Okay. So I'm going to let you go.
So like, what was your first land deal that you closed? Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm. It was, that was summer 2018 was my first land deal, my first wholesale deal. Didn't happen to like 2017. It was a house in 2017. Like, it's fine, but and I only made like $3,000. But my first land deal was the one for like the 18 to the 25, but that was summer 2018. And then I got another deal like the next week, another family side by side. They own 3 lots, the heirs. Stop paying the back taxes. Person had, grandpa had died. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I just.
We got to go into it. So, okay. You talking about these heirs properties with the back taxes. How do you buy properties off of the back taxes? Like, how does that work? How does that whole process work?
Well, so like, okay. Say for instance, so like when, so we'll pull a tax delinquent lease, mm-hmm. co-violations lease, absentee owners, and a vacant land lease. I pull mm-hmm. all 4 of those leases. We stack them. When we stack those leases, then I'll see people that, you know, the back taxes, what a lot of times with back taxes, if you don't own a mortgage on something, like, that means that probably somebody has died. Like, because mm-hmm. if you're alive, living it well, and that's your property, you're going to pay the back taxes every year when they're due in January. Well, when I see that on there, it's still in the person's name. I'll look the person up, look them up on obituary.com, ancestry.com. When you look them up on that, you can see their obituary.
See all their family members
in there. See all their family members in there. Then I skip trace for the family members. And I find them. That's how I find it.
That's a big bar right there. I need a message.
But yeah, no, that's how you find them. And so like then when I find them, you know, I do the same thing. Like if I was going to do a regular person, you know what I'm saying? You call them, text them, you know, email them, like, you know, pull up. I will always pull up, you know, door knock. If they here in Dallas, like, you know, the Dallas area, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But yeah, and it always works. I just tell them to hit me up, you know what I'm saying? Before it goes to the auction, they hit me up, you know, and then with land, they're not attached to it. It's not a house, mm-hmm. you know, it's, yeah.
They ain't grow up there. They don't have all those.
Well, because the house is not there no more. The city tore down. So like, it's just the land now. So mm-hmm. like, you know, they don't really, yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah. Whenever you're doing this, are some of them in the probate process?
In Texas, we don't have to do the probate process. The only time you have to do probate in Texas is if the person has a will and you need to probate the will. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so if they have a will and you take it to title, title is going to ask, like, has the will been probated? Yes or no? And that's just because, like, a situation that I have, I actually have a deal right now. Okay, so it's a mom. She did get married and then her husband died. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the mom had a will and she left it to her 3 kids. So when they tried to sell it, those 3 kids, they didn't probate the will. So when title pulled the information for the house, the husband's name still comes up on title. He's dead. So you do an affidavit of heirship on him. you do an affidavit of heirship on him. He had kids outside of their marriage, you know, because they got older when they were, he had already had kids.
Now you got
And now you got her three kids and then his two kids.
And they all have interest in it, to the property. Right.
But if they probate, they will, they do not. You see? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like,
it's kind of like a transfer.
Yeah, it's almost like, yeah. So, I mean, some people, they, a lot of times black people, the black people I be dealing with, like in the city, they just go change it at the appraisal district. Well, you got to go change it at the, you got to change it with title too. Mm-hmm. Like, because when we pull the title,
I'm going to need you to break that down for me a bit more. All right. So the appraisal district and the title. So I know the title company, they deal with all that stuff. What's the appraisal district? You go into appraisers and they...
No. So every county or parish has their own appraisal district. So Dallas County Appraisal District is right on 30. What are we on? We on 30? Yeah. It's on 35. It's on 35. So like that's just the appraisal district. So they're the ones that's going to keep up with all the property records. They're going to tell you if it's a house, if it's land, you know, what it's valued at, you know, fair market value. I do that because, like, if they ever was to do eminent domain, they'll be like, oh, we gave them fair market, you know what I'm saying, which is on the appraisal value. Mm-hmm. That's not market value.
That's
though.
Not what things right, retail
right,
for.
Right, exactly, exactly. But it give you a lot of information on the property, 7,000 square feet. 3-bed, 2-bath, whatever, 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 who name it's in, the history of who owned it, different things like that is on the appraisal district websites. Mm-hmm. But you can go downtown, file a document, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times people will file their affidavit of heirship, and then they'll file, I think they'll file an affidavit of heirship. Maybe that's pretty much that's it. And then they'll file it at the county. Well, the county, they just workers. They just doing their job. They not title examiners. They're not abstract people. Like, you know, for an abstract company, they just doing their jobs. They see it. They change it. You know what I'm saying? The system, whatever, whatever, and keep it moving. But that doesn't change it with the chain of title. You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't change it on who actually got the deed.
So, and I'm going to break it down for them a little bit deeper, right? So, say we was doing cars. If you had a car, you would change over that title owner, right? And you're doing that at the DMV. Same thing with real estate. You go to a title company to change the actual name of who.
You'll file the affidavit of heirship with a title company, and then you will do like to where they'll give you the warranty deed. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't do that. So when
what is a warranty deed?
So you have different deeds as far as like when you buy real estate. Mm-hmm. So you can get like, well, people will try to do quit claim deeds, but like in the state of Texas, we don't recognize quit claim deeds because it's just signing over any type of interest. If you have it or you don't, you just saying like, hey, whatever. Mostly families use it, like if it's a brother to a sister.
Like if I had this property, I want to give it to Jalen. Yeah, quit claim deed.
If that's like your brother, mostly families use it, but you really shouldn't. Like you really should use a warranty deed because a warranty deed is like saying like, hey, with warranty, like I'm guaranteeing there is no encumbrances, no liens, no, you know what I'm saying, no back taxes, no nothing on this property here, boom. Like it's, that's kind of.
So if I did a quit claim, I could pass off potential problems to the next person versus a warranty, all those problems will fall on my shoulders before they got it.
Yes. And okay. So, and then also too, the title company is not going to, the one that I have another one in Duncanville that I'm dealing with right now. They're not going to like give me insurance on my new title. I'm trying to buy a property. It's a commercial lot. I'm trying to buy the commercial lot, but the previous seller and the my seller I'm dealing with now, they use a quit claim deed. So what we have to do is, we're trying to find the previous seller and my seller to do a special warranty deed. Mm. And the title was like, if they can sign a special warranty deed, then they'll be able to insure me, you know what I'm saying, when I buy it. But right now, no. So it's been holding up for about a month now. So like,
So when you say title's going to insure you, they're going to insure you and say, you know what, there's no other liens and no other interest on this property? Is that what the insurance part is for?
It's more so like they do, but you want like a clean marketable title, like when you are buying a property. You feel what I'm saying? They're saying that it's not, but you can always push those liens and those back taxes to like a Schedule B. It's called an exception. Like, you know what I'm saying? Exception to the Schedule B. Like, I'm signing Portia. Like, I see that these are on there. I know that they're on there, but I'm going to put them on the exception. Meaning I'm still going to close, but they're on my Schedule B. Like, they can move it to, like, you know, a different part, like on the title. But you want a marketable title, especially I do for land, because I have to get a construction loan. I'm getting a new construction loan. So my lender, when they put it through the title, it has to be clean. You know, it has to be a clean
so
title.
A marketable title is a title that doesn't have any lien holders. It doesn't have anybody that can,
like, no city liens, no back taxes, okay, no encumbrances, nothing, like no abstracts or judgments on
no
there.
Code,
like,
violations,
yes,
none,
no,
of that.
None of that, right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, because a new construction, like when you want to get a new construction loan, they're not gonna lend on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if anything happens and you default on that new construction loan, they need to be able to foreclose on that property to recoup their money back. So they wouldn't do it if it's like, you know, if they can't recoup their mm-hmm. money back if you default on that construction
loan. Hedging their risk.
Yes, right, exactly.
Gotcha. I have another question for you regarding financing land. So I know, like, houses and stuff like that, they got comps and all these things. You mm-hmm. can go to a bank for a loan. What does it look like getting financing for a land deal? How does that part work?
I don't know, David, because all my land deals I bought cash.
Mm, that's a better answer than
so
anything.
I don't know.
That's a bar.
But I want to finance some acres that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Because I want to actually develop those acres. Like, I want to take them from acres to buildable lots, to where it already has, like, you know, like the water, the sewer, you know, pretty much like a subdivision. Mm-hmm. But I have to get there to where it may be my second acre deal. My first one, I would just do the vision and the plan and then flip those paper lots to a developer.
What is a paper lot?
Just where it's the vision. Like, okay. I don't bring any of that stuff in. I'll just, like, take it from acres, like, take it from 10 acres and maybe put it to, like, maybe 30 lots, mm-hmm. you know, or I'm just
like, I've divided it up and all this stuff on
paper.
Right,
and then it's, like, it's going to be a cul-de-sac. You're going to have, like, a little dog park over here. Like, I have the plans, and the plans have already got approved through the city. Mm-hmm. And I'll flip all of that, too. That's one way you can do with land.
So you don't even have to be the developer. You can just have the vision for the land mm-hmm. and then sell it to the developer.
And they take all the risk.
After it's already approved.
After right. the city's approved everything.
Correct.
Okay, so can I talk to you more about the process of going through and getting things done, like, with the city? Because it seems like in a lot of what you've talked about.
Well, that's what I'm learning right now.
You have to go through, like, some of these correct. Intermediaries.
Yeah, and it becomes, like, political, like, from what I'm trying to do with this first one. I have a mentor for this one. Mm-hmm. So, like, my mentor, when he did his first, like, and it's land entitlement is what it's called. When he did his first one, yeah, he made, like, $1.3 million from his first. There was one deal. So when I started learning about that with land, I was just like, man, bro, I be doing these infield lots, but they don't be hitting like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because infield lots is smaller spreads. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You can still make great money. Don't get it twisted, but it's just smaller spreads. You know, and then you get to the point, like, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know, so when I get to 10 acres and I'm trying to turn it into, like, 30, you know, maybe 30, 40 lots, depending on, you know, all what size we can make them by the city, it becomes more, like, political. You have to talk with zoning. You have to talk with city council. You have to talk, you know what I'm saying? You got to mm-hmm. have all these meetings and different things of what the city wants. That's not just one infill lot. You're trying to build, you know what I'm saying, like, a lot of lots in their yeah. city, you know? So you have to talk to them, and it becomes political, like, for sure. So, but when you get those plans done, they could just say yay or nay, but you're doing a lot of rezoning, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, replatting, different things like that. So,
spending some time in some city meetings. Mm-hmm.
So when I do that, if they accept our offer for this acres that we are looking at, that will be my first time financing some land, but that's acres. Most time the infield lots, I mean, they $20,000-$25,000, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then in other areas like, you know, Louisiana, like, or other cities, like 2 hours, the secondary markets or rural areas, hell, they like $1,000, $2,000. I don't need to finance that, you know. And if you do need to finance that, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you go get some more money.
Yeah,
first.
Just save it for a little bit, because it doesn't even make sense of what, like, you know, with land, they will charge you a lot, like, probably like more, a little bit more interest, probably like than a house. So I wouldn't finance something like that if I can just buy cash. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, like, how long does it normally take the process to get a land deal done? Is it more strenuous than, like, a wholesale deal, like a regular, you know, property wholesale deal, or is it a little bit less friction?
It depends, because a lot of times, like, my land deals, when I deal with them, excuse me, when I deal with them with heirs, it's going to have issues. We're going to have drama. We're going to have this brother upset at this brother.
Because this person said that we're going to sell it and they ask me.
Exactly. So you got to deal with where you're being a counselor. I'm being a therapist. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing all of this stuff. So it just depends. Like, you know, every deal is different. Infield lots, you know, like, I mean, I've closed some in like 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? I've closed one in a week. It depends on if the title is clear. Like, I'm not going to move my deal if my title isn't clear. A lot of times with those type of properties, especially back taxes, houses or land, you're going to get issues where you're going to have child support liens. You're going to have demo liens. You have to clear and, you know, clear the title like for the, you know.
So. I didn't even know they had, well, child support liens, but the demo liens, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they'll have demo liens on there, and that's going to be, in Dallas, that's going to be the city. And then, so, like, your back taxes is going to be the county. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I want to know about your favorite deal versus your worst deal that you hated. Like, those two, I want to know the dynamics between those.
My favorite deal, gosh, I don't think I really have a favorite deal. I would say, like, if I can get this land entitlement deal, that would be my favorite deal. Because I think it's going to net me, like, a lot, like, what we're looking at. And it's not even about that. It's just because it's going to get me closer to being a, developing a subdivision. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my goals, like, I'm 34. I want to retire at 40. Like, one of my goals, though, I do want to build a subdivision and name it after my son. So I'm all about legacy. I'm all about different things like that. So that land entitlement, if this man accepts this deal, like it's in Cedar Hill, like if he accepts this deal and we get it through, everything goes well, like I would just be like so happy because that wouldn't be the subdivision I would do, but I would be one step closer to learning that process. Correct. And learning the financing of when I'm buying something this large, how much I got to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The points and the percentages and blah, blah, blah. Like, I would know all of that stuff, you know what I'm saying, from the architect and the design, the price, like, the approval process from, you know, the city and different things like that. So, you know, I really would think that would probably be a favorite deal. But the most part, like, I mean, the relationships are probably the most favorite. Like, I've had Filipino sellers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've had Hispanic sellers, white sellers. I'm still cool with those sellers to this day because I built that rapport. So they always send me people all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really have one in particular that was, like, a favorite. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So nightmare.
Yeah, definitely got a nightmare. 2018. Thanksgiving 2018. I talk about this deal a lot on Twitter. I think I posted it. Not more so, like, because it was an issue, it's because the gurus in wholesaling and real estate, they do not talk about it. I don't consider myself like a guru. Like, I'm really out here doing it. So a duru or whatever you want to call it.
I like that.
We actually really are out here doing it. And a lot of times people are not telling these newer wholesalers or these new people that's getting in real estate, like, you need to protect yourself. Like, sellers lie and buyers lie too. So that terrible deal, it was on South Boulevard. The house is still over there. I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of people in real estate know about this house. It's still on South Boulevard in South Dallas. It has the two lines on the side, has the elevator, and the mother-in-law suites in the back. So I got in the contract for $170. As is, it could have sold for $363 at the time. Fixed up, probably $600-something. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a historic district on South Boulevard, different things like that. Well, the seller, I thought, was like, oh, I'm like, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got it for $170. We had a buyer for like $250. I'm like, oh, I'm finna eat. Like, you know, this was my first, like, this is gonna be my first big major deal. This back in 2018. Well, he fraudulently deeded the property into his name.
So it wasn't his to begin with?
No.
Wow.
And so I'm on my way back driving from Houston. It was around Thanksgiving. I was driving back for Houston. I never forget it. My title lady, she called me. Then she emailed me. I still got the emails. And she was just like, Portia, she was like, this deal is null and void. We have to cancel the contract, termination of contract. And she was like, the DA and the federal agents for Fannie Mae and HUD just came to the title company.
Jesus.
Yeah. My stomach dropped in my ass. I no cap. Because I never been in trouble like that. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, it was just, I had to come in, I had to be interrogated. Like, yeah, it was fucking crazy, bro.
Damn.
Whoa. Just because somebody else lied. But like you said, it's important to protect yourself. Man, so how would you protect yourself?
Well, I definitely had an attorney at the time. My attorney, she passed in 2020, Ms. G.
R.I.P.
But yeah, but she walked me through the entire process. She was just like, because we didn't close, remember? Like, we didn't close. We terminated. We were going to. Actually, Thanksgiving was that Thursday. We were closing that Monday. Because everything was clear. Everything was fine. Like, we were going to close that Monday. But we ended up not closing. I think I ended up getting interrogated maybe, like, the day before Thanksgiving or something like that. Or maybe, maybe that morning or something. Or the day after. I don't know. I just remember it was the week of Thanksgiving. Like, I was sick to my stomach. I had a terrible Thanksgiving that year. So, because I didn't know, like, if they were going to try to say, like, I was, like, a part of it. Because that's what they thought. When I went in there, they had started investigating me. Like, they was having, like, all this different stuff, like, all this whatever, whatever.
Wait, and, wait a minute. Yeah, this the nigga y'all need, like, to be
exactly.
talking to.
Like, so I was just like, and me, baby, I stay on the sidewalk. I'm not in the streets. I'm not doing none of that shit. So you fuck around with me, like, all that shit. I'm snitching. You got me fucked up. Like, I'm not, nah, bro. Because, nah, I'm not doing none of this shit. Like, no, I'm not doing time for nobody, bro. You got me, you crazy. Hell no. So, but he don't, like, he actually, you know, it was on the news and everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was on the news, bro. Like, so, all them new wholesalers, like, y'all get into that shit. Make sure you go through a title and make sure that sellers are not trying to rush y'all. Because he was trying to rush me, like, you know what I'm saying? But that's why, because he didn't want my title company to find it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so like,
that's a good lesson in it all. Cause like, in any business, if somebody trying to rush you, you gotta, that's a red ass flag. You need to be paying attention. Flag, like, hey, well, why y'all trying to make this happen so quick? Like, what? Why you trying to push this in that envelope? Nope. Facts. But
that was the worst one.
I appreciate you sharing that, Portia. Yeah. So I wanna pivot into the last thing. I hate that we gotta cut these a bit short, but we're gonna get you back. We're gonna have to do this again.
We're gonna get a part two.
So I wanna ask you, what's a personal finance tip or principle that you live by? I know one of the things that you herald is the 9 to 5, but I wanna know, like, a tip or principle that you live by.
I mean, like, pretty much, you mean like credit wise or no, like
just in general.
Like what, something that you're like, you know, I'm not breaking this rule, like.
Oh, well, actually, like, with the 9 to 5, like, with everything being automated now, like, my savings, like, with my emergency savings, so, like, I have my emergency savings, and, like, that's that, but, like, I don't break anything of, like, not saving that money where I pay myself first to get everything done. Like, I didn't used to. I used to be in that mindset, same thing, you know, pay all my bills, like that. Like, nah, I pay myself first and make sure I handle what I need to handle, like, whatever. Like, my bills get paid, like, all this stuff, whatever. Like, it's not an issue, but I always make sure that I'm putting my percentage back.
Paying for, like, yourself before you paying everybody else.
Yeah, like, because what the fuck are you doing it for? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah.
Real talk. That's some real shit, because, like, I think the first book that really put it in my head was The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, think about it. You go work all day, all hard, and you don't say nothing for yourself. Yeah. Like, you pay everybody else, and then you just sit here with some empty pockets.
It's crazy.
You ain't gonna never get forward like that. Especially, like, I think the greatest example, and it was like, even when you, like, in debt, right? He was in debt. He's like, bro, just work out with your debtors and be like, don't give them all your fucking money at once. Just be like, hey, yo, look, I can pay y'all this. Yeah. But I gotta make sure I'm keeping at least this for myself. Fact and up. Then that was like 10%. 20% to debts, and 70% you're living off of. But still, like, that's a strong principle. I'm glad that you shared that.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. Let them know where they can follow you, where they can keep up with you. I don't think you're doing the consultations anymore, but if you have any other resources that you can offer them, let them know that.
I did open those back up. Okay. I closed them for, it got a little bit overwhelming, but I did open them back up. They're only on one day a week, though, because I have time for my family, my son. Different things like that, but I did open them back up. But you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is pretty much all where I'm at. But it's all at the Portia Edmond, and that's it. Like, I don't know, but all of them are the same. So
cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Portia is Portsha Edmund. No D.
Right.
There you go. If somebody with a D come, they scamming you. Pay attention.
They scamming you.
Pay attention. Stay woke.
And I don't ask nobody for money. So, yeah.
There you go. Well, Portia, I want to say thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. This has been great. Getting some good gems, learning about the land game. I'm going to go back and listen to this one because you dropped some terms in here. Yeah. I'm going to have to research some of this shit.
I think I'm going to work on a course for sure. Like, a lot of people have been asking me to, like, drop a course. Like, it's just not my style.
I get you. It's a whole thing with courses and all that.
I just be like, man. But definitely I'll do a consultation with anybody, like, for sure, and put people on. So, yeah.
For sure. Well,
I'll let you go into it.
All right, we'll hop into a couple house cleaning items. As always, y'all, make sure y'all leave us that 5-star rating and review for your boys. Helps us grow the show. Again, thank you for tuning in. Our podcast has been doing numbers, been going great. Y'all can support the show by being a supporter through Anchor.
We're going to have some major news for y'all soon, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can't tell y'all what it is.
Big 10's on the way.
But
we ain't going to say it just yet.
It's pressure.
All I know is pressure. What's your boy name that made that song?
Y'all is crazy. Louisiana boys.
Nah, for real. But nah, man. Again, truly, honestly, if you still listening, man, really thank y'all. We appreciate and love y'all for all the support. And until next time, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out.
Peace.